I'm Barry Farrell, Premier of the State, and you're listening to Who's Playing Who.
What up, I'm Benji Marshall.
I'm Gareth Ellis.
I'm Wally Takiri. And you're listening to Who's Playing Who. This is my town. This
is our house.
And welcome to another action-packed, hard-hitting episode of Who's Playing Who. I'm Adrian McMurray, and thank you for joining us for yet another outstanding episode of this humble little podcast. And yes, it is episode 56. We're back after a two-week hiatus. Congratulations to us for winning the minor premiership in the podcasting regular season. We did get the 2 weeks off. We're back to we're primed. We're ready for the preliminary finals. And joining me to preview the big weekend ahead in sport, first of all, Who's Playing Who co-owner, Matthew Trodden.
Thanks, Adrian. Once again, finals time. This is the best time of year for footy fans, and I'm very happy to be here.
Absolutely. And also, over in New Zealand, first of all, it's Tomo Yee.
Hey, g'day, gentlemen. How's it going? Adrian, you sound well. You sound rested. Been working out, mate?
not really, actually.
The vocal cords. Yeah, okay.
Beautiful. Who else have we got? We got Ruben over there. He's coming to us from Wellington.
Yeah, g'day, Adrian. It's good to be back.
Beautiful. And, of course, it's his last episode of this series. He won't be with us next week. It's James McBrien.
Hey, guys. Thanks very much for having me. I've just snuck in one more before I head off overseas. So thank you for letting me back on.
Great show ahead. Let's get straight into it. And we start with our opening question. The A-League has been, they've just been signing for former champions who still got a bit to offer all over the place. First of all, we had Alessandro Del Piero. Just today, Emil Heskey signed with the Newcastle Jets. There's now talk that Michael Ballack may be coming to the Western Sydney Wanderers. It's exciting times for the A-League. Are you pumped? We'll start with Matt.
Most definitely. Of course, we had spoken previously about signing as Wanderers members. That was put on hiatus as soon as Del Piero started getting mentioned for Sydney. Then today, one of my footballing heroes from my youth, ML Heskey, former Leicester City player, he did score two goals, scored a double when I was at Filbert Street back in 1999. He's signed with Newcastle. Now Ballack looks like he is in advanced negotiations with Western Sydney Wanderers. It's becoming a very, very big year for the A-League, and I'm very excited for first time in a long time. Particularly with the rugby league still, and you're almost more excited about the football than you are about the footy.
That's it. Tomo, your thoughts?
To be really honest with you, I haven't actually heard a whole lot about this whole situation. But on my laptop right now in front of me, I've got an article about his arrival to Australia, and it's got here, you know, he's brought his own trainer, his three young children, and his wife. And I like that. I like that commitment from a player. And so from someone who's come from, you know, who's a big name overseas, who can come and try and lift the profile of the Australian game and make it, you know, it will never get to the stage where it's compared to, you know, what it is in Europe. But if he can lift the game in Australasia, then it's going to have big benefits for the sport. So, you know, it's exciting in that regard.
And James, you were a Sydney FC fan and supporter, and you've shifted your allegiance to the Wanderers. You've signed up for a membership. Surely you're still excited, though.
I am. I was devastated when I found out that Del Piero was going to Sydney after I'd paid my money for my Wanderers membership. I thought I've just blown however much it cost. I want to go for Sydney FC again now. But this talk of Ballack coming to the Wanderers has got me excited again. And I'm just disappointed that I'm going to be away for the first month or so of the season to miss the big Sydney derby with Western Sydney versus the Glamour Boys from the City and Del Piero playing. I wish I could be out there for it, but I guess anyone who follows the A-League even a little bit is absolutely pumped for this season. it's just with the players they've signed, it's going to be a massive year and hopefully take the game in this country to the next level.
That's it now, Ruben. Of course, Del Piero is not just going to have an effect for Sydney FC, but the game as a whole, and in the away games he plays, it's hoped that he'll draw an even bigger crowd. Now, round one, the Sydney FC travel to Wellington to take on the Phoenix, and you're probably going to go to that. Were you going to go to it before? Or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, not only do we have big players coming from Australia, but Phoenix have been competing in their big signings lately as well with the Belgian international striker recently signing with Phoenix. So it's exciting times for us as well. The Phoenix have a big following here in Wellington, and towards the end of last season I went into the Yellow Fever
supporter group.
Yeah, supporters area of the stadium. It was outrageous. Compared to what the crowds are for the rugby and stuff, it was an amazing atmosphere. So I'm keen to get involved again.
That's good. And you take your shirt off when they're in front with 10 to go. Is that the?
Yeah, we had to do that, and it was freezing cold. I'm going to tell you that.
Beautiful. Well,
he'll be sitting in the old press box now, wouldn't he? Seeing who's playing who, we're hooking him up with a media pass.
I would say so.
Our reach is long, but I don't know if we've got that. Yes, we do. Yeah, we do. Sorry, but no, it's good to hear the Phoenix have signed a Belgian striker, Stein. Oh, Heiss.
I can't say his last name.
Anyway, he's 30 years of age. It is very in vogue to be signing Belgian players at the moment. So it's good to see the Phoenix.
The Belgium striker is a pretty cool nickname, though, isn't it? You know.
Anyway, we'll move on from that.
Or not. Okay, continue.
Way out of my head. Anyway, you have to explain that one to me later.
No, I just thought, you know, the Belgian striker is actually quite a cool nickname.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, fair enough.
That's all I was saying.
I thought I was reading
too much
into that.
Belgian striker.
It's like, and the Belgian striker! Like, you know, I'm just, you know.
Beautiful. Now, I thought I was way reading too much into that. Let's move on. The NRL preliminary finals are here, and of course, Friday night, the Storm welcome the Seagulls to Amy Park. Are they playing this one at Amy Park?
Yep,
Amy Park. Matt, kick us off here. Who's going to win?
I'm tipping Melbourne, not overly confidently, but I just think going off their finals week one performance, they were clinical, simply too good, and I think that may be the case against the Seagulls, who were quite good against the Cowboys last week, but probably had a few lapses where they dropped off, and they've got a few players carrying injuries. They do get Maddie back, but I think they might just fall short here against a very, very good Melbourne side.
Yeah, I'm going the Storm as well. James, you're a Seagulls supporter. Can they do the job?
I'm more hoping so than expecting so. Beating Melbourne down in Melbourne is always a tough ask, and Manly obviously had quite a controversial win last week, and Melbourne was just kicking back at home with the feet up, watching the Cowboys and Seagulls bash each other around a bit. So I'd love for my boys the Seagulls to get up, but I think Melbourne will make it through the grand final.
Just before you move on too, there's also a stat that they haven't lost a preliminary final since the 70s. So that's Manly. That's Manly, that's Manly haven't lost a preliminary final since the 70s.
That's pretty good.
That's quite a good record. It doesn't fill me with that much more confidence, but I'll hang off anything I can get.
Hey, Ruben, quick tip from you.
Yep, the Storm are going to lose this. they have a pretty poor record in the last few years in finals matches, and I think Manly have a bit of a point to prove after last week. They'll want to show that they deserve to be there, and it's not just luck that's brought them there. You see it time and time again that the side that has the week off comes out a bit. Yes, they may be rested, but they kind of come out a bit lackluster. I don't know. But I'm tipping this Manly to get past the Storm here.
And Tomo finishes up.
Yeah, I was going to say the Storm, but Ruben makes a good point. Momentum is always a key factor, and And especially, you know, the week off can hurt you. The Storm, they always do get up for the finals. I think I'm going to – it's tough. I think I'm going to side with Ruben, actually. I think I'm going to choose Manly now.
Okay, the big one in Sydney on Saturday night. The Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs and the South Sydney Rabbitohs go head-to-head ANZ Stadium. And who would have believed it that the Rabbitohs would make a preliminary final in 2012? Exciting times for all those Rabbitohs supporters out there, myself included, and members, I suppose. Should mention them there. Good bunch. I suppose you can go out and buy a 2013 membership soon or something. Should we? Do we get a plug for that, or do we get paid? I don't know. Anyway, let's predict who's going to win this one. We'll go to Tomo first.
Yeah. Well, all I can say, Adrian, is enjoy the game because it's probably the last one for the Rabbitohs this season. I'm going to choose the Bulldogs.
Cool, James.
Yes, again, like the last one, I'd love for the Rabbitohs to get up and make it through to the grand final, but I can't see them beating the Bulldogs, unfortunately.
Okay, Ruben?
I think this is going to be a riveting match. I find it hard to pick a winner. I think the Bulldogs probably should get past the Bunnies here, but that's only on the back of what they've done throughout the second half of the season, and that's impress very highly. They deserve to go through the grand final and win the whole thing, in my opinion. But I think the Rabbitohs will make this a tough game for them.
Okay, and we'll leave the final word with Matt.
I think Souths haven't been challenged in a long time. In the last probably 2 months of the season, when they have been, or they haven't won when they've been challenged. Probably that. When they've been challenged, they've fallen to pieces. Manly game comes up, and then Melbourne as well. So I think they've bullied a lot of lesser opponents. Last week wasn't a finals game against the Raiders. The Raiders came out there, deer in the headlights, like the Rabbitohs basically in the first game. They weren't up for it. And the Rabbitohs dropped off too many occasions for me last week. They really should have put Canberra to the sword and didn't. To be honest, I don't really want to see either of these teams win the comp. Nothing against the Rabbitohs, Adrian. I just couldn't live with it. So I'm going to tip a Bulldogs victory here, but I think whoever it is probably going to be sitting as runners-up at the end of the season.
Oh, that's ominous signs there for the Storm. Of course, I'm going to tip the Rabbitohs, but all I want to see is a fair game, a good game of rugby league that's not decided by any sort of, you know, dodgy refereeing decision or anything. Just the best football side on the day wins, or on the night wins, and hopefully that's the South Sydney side. But it wouldn't surprise me if there's not much in it.
After the last couple of years when the Tigers have played South, I have to say, and the Bulldogs, in fact, I would have to say I'd love either side to be rorted by a video refereeing decision.
Let's move on now. AFL, of course, the preliminary finals as well. And we also have the top four sides in that competition going head-to-head this weekend. James, this is your moment to shine. Step up to the plate. We'll start with Sydney and Collingwood.
Yeah, so it was a massive game at the Olympic Stadium on Friday night. The Swans up against Collingwood. That was third against fourth on the table after the home and away season, but the Swans, quite an amazing upset victory over Adelaide in the first week, earned them the week off and the home prelim. Looking at, if you just look back over the past 6 or 7 years, you'd be crazy to go against Collingwood. They've won 11 straight against Sydney, and they've won 7 in a row in Sydney as well. So the trip up to the Harbour City won't hold any fears for them, but they've obviously not going to have the ideal preparation. They'll fly to Sydney tomorrow, being Thursday, day before the game, but only after an hour and a half bus trip from Melbourne to Sorrento to attend the funeral of their former teammate John McCarthy, who passed away last week. Then jump back on the bus back to the airport and fly to Sydney. So it's hardly an ideal preparation coming into the, you know, the biggest match of the season so far. For me, I'm not ashamed to say that I desperately hope that Collingwood loses. And I think everyone who's not a Collingwood fan would agree with me in that one. But it's such a toss of a coin, this one. When they met 6 or 7 weeks ago. Collingwood won by a kick, so there's not a lot splitting them. I think I'm going to tip Sydney just in a very close one, purely because Collingwood's preparation and lead up to the game will be so far from the norm, and sort of the emotional letdown of their massive win last week, coupled with attending the funeral, will conspire against them, I think.
Yeah, I'm really hoping Sydney get the job done as well. If they're going to break the streak, this is probably, well, we said this earlier in the year, but this is probably their best chance. I mean, I think they've exceeded all expectations, and they've just had a great season, and we'd love to see them in another grand final.
So before we go too far, we should also mention it's Jude Bolton's 300th game for Sydney, only the third Sydney/South Melbourne player to ever reach 300 game milestone, and the 67th, I think, player in AFL VFL history to get there as well. So a massive achievement for him.
Yeah, that's absolutely. He's had a great career to date as well. So hopefully, he can get a win in his milestone match.
I'd love Sydney to get up, and I'm not saying I would be supporting them necessarily. I probably won't be watching the game live. We're watching the NRL at the same time, but my head probably just says Collingwood might be a little too good. Just history and, fact that it's Collingwood.
Yeah, fair point. Ruben, quickly.
I can't say I know anything about this, so skip me.
Goodo, Tomo?
I'm like Ruben. I don't know a whole lot, but I will tip Sydney.
It's beautiful. Good to see we're all on side. Hawthorn Adelaide, James.
Yes, I think this one will be a lot more one-sided than the earlier game. This is a Saturday twilight game, a sort of time slot which has caused a bit of controversy. Lots of people thinking that Hawthorn, being the minor premiers, should have the longer break before the grand final. But you know, the AFL scheduled them on Saturday twilight, so there's not a lot they can do about that, really. I said at the start of the year, the Hawks, for the whole season, have been my premiership favourites, and the way they fairly easily accounted for Collingwood 2 weeks ago doesn't leave me with any doubt that they'll do that again to Adelaide this weekend and storm through to the grand final. I mean, the way they play, just when they're on, they don't give any other teams a chance. So a couple of injury concerns. They got Brent Guerra out with a hamstring from last week, and if they win, he'll be touch and go for the grand final. But you know, despite the fact that the Crows hit their straps in the second half last week, I can't see them getting close to Hawthorn, I have to say.
All right, we'll do this. We'll go a majority vote. All in favour of Hawthorn winning, say aye.
Aye.
Yes, aye.
Yeah, aye.
Okay, the ayes have it. That's it. Hawthorn to go through. And Adelaide, they've done very well this season, but I think, Hawthorn... I'm pretty much of the view that this is their premiership to lose. I don't know. Maybe that's a bit much, but we'll see anyway. Good luck to all those sides playing on the weekend. Let's move on to the rugby championship now, and the Wallabies, they play the Springboks. I think this one's over in South Africa. For the return match, from memory, we managed to knock them off a couple of weeks ago. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. See, it's the one team one of two teams we can beat on a consistent basis, and nobody remembers that. That being said, I think they're going to be up against it, winning over there. I mean, just squeezing past Argentina. Talk about getting out of jail. That was amazing. But yeah, I think the Springboks, they should win this one in front of their home crowd. If they don't, that's ordinary. does anyone share my view?
Oh, I agree. They really should count for the Wallabies quite easily. Quade Cooper's out for a few months now, another knee injury. Will Genny is gone for the rest of the season. In saying that, Nick Phipps was, I did watch last week, he was very good at halfback, set up that the try, put the Aussies in front for Digby Ioane. But really, I mean, if you've watched Australia play any time in the last month, they've been pretty poor and lacking creativity, lacking anything other than pick and drive. So I'm thinking the South Africans are much better at them at picking and driving, so they'll win quite easily.
Jeez, we're all over them. James, something.
Yeah, I agree with Matt. I think the Springboks will win it, and we will win fairly comfortably. If you know, if the Wallabies had a full strength team out on the track, then they might be able to run it a bit closer. But the number of injuries and injuries to some of our best players as well hasn't helped. But you know, I hope people don't get too disheartened by any loss we get this weekend, because really with the team we got in the park, we don't stand a chance. We've just been absolutely crippled by injuries.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's like a whole team that's pretty much out at the moment, so it's not good. Let's have a look at the All Blacks game. Are they heading over to Argentina?
Yeah, they are. I think they had a solid win over the Springboks last week. You know, just before we're moving on to the All Blacks, the Springboks and the Wallabies, the Springboks were unlucky, to come away with a win against the All Blacks. The score doesn't really reflect it. I think it was 21-11, but they missed a whole lot of kickable penalties and they left a lot of points on the board. And that might be due to the conditions inside that covered roof they have down in Dunedin. I know the All Blacks have, I mean, this is the New Zealand media. The All Blacks have won something like 19 or 20 consecutive games, you know, dating back the last couple of years, including the World Cup. And still the New Zealand media are just banging on them about, you know, looking for the perfect game. And at this point, I'm kind of just thinking, you know, it's just take it for what it is. The All Blacks are playing. Maybe they're not playing perfect, but they're playing and they are winning. And I think that's all that should matter. Richie McCaw had a fantastic game last week. The All Blacks still also have a couple of injuries. Most notably, Dan Carter is still out. But they should have too much for the Springbok. The Pumas. But it's quite refreshing to see Argentina in this championship. And they have played some competitive games, much more competitive than I thought. And one other thing before I give it to Ruben, back to the Wallabies, is that I think, you know, we talked about in the podcast a couple of weeks ago about Robbie Deans' job security. And I think the amount of injuries that the Wallabies have sustained in the last couple of months has really saved his job, because now he's kind of got something to shift the blame on. And the amount of injuries they've had to their captains and star players has just been phenomenal.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point there, Tomo. I think you're absolutely right. Aussie might have been able to get past the Pumas, but not convincingly. And with the likes of Quade Cooper out, I think the Springboks showed against the All Blacks that, you know, they can play some solid rugby when they want to, and I think they'll get past the Wallabies on this one. And, of course, the All Blacks, far too good, far too strong, easily 13-plus. Make it 30-plus against Argentina.
Jeez, I'd like to see what betting agencies are offering for pick your own line 30-plus there. Or pick your own margin or whatever, like all over the shop. Let's move on to football now. Let's see if I can get back on track here. Two massive games. First of all, Liverpool versus Manchester United. This one's from Anfield, 10:30 Sunday night in Sydney. Sydney time, and of course this is the documentary, isn't it?
Being Liverpool.
Being Liverpool. Ah, Being Liverpool is on prior to this fixture, which is nice scheduling there. And unfortunately, I think Liverpool are going to be defeated. Well, unfortunately for them anyway. Both teams have European matches midweek, and I think Manchester United will just have a bit too much, even for a Liverpool side who will be playing in front of their home fans for the first time since the findings from the Hillsborough disaster came out, I think, last week or thereabouts. So Manchester United for me.
What was that?
I think someone just left.
Someone didn't agree with you, obviously.
Yeah, that's it. So someone just stalled.
He's had a walkout protest.
Yeah. We'll go, Matt, your tip.
I'm going to say Man U. I think they put Wiggins to the sword last week, so I think they should really be too good there.
James?
I actually think this one will end in a draw, I have to say. I think Liverpool have won a better performance than last week, but if you don't watch any of the match, at least make sure you're there for the start to see the sort of procession of shaking hands, because that'll be where the fireworks will fly. All the talk this week has been about the conflict between the teams and the race row and how it's going to pan out. So it'll be be interesting to see what happens there, I think, possibly more so than the match itself.
You know, I reckon if Evra does start, I reckon they should just shake hands and move on. Let's not get into the whole handshake thing, but I think they'll just do it. But I've got a sneaking suspicion he might start Budna, or whatever his name is, ahead of him at left back. I think Evra, I think, will play in the game against Galatasaray. And he'll start the other bloke at left back. So just to defuse any potential scenes there in the handshake.
Well, even taking the race row out of it, Butner scored last week anyway on debut. So they'd be crazy to drop him after one of the best games ever played. So
yeah, exactly. The other game, Manchester City, they host Arsenal. This one's 1 a.m. Sydney time. So that'll be Monday morning. So yeah, if you're not doing anything on Monday, this is where it's at. Now, City, unbelievably, they managed to lose their Champions League match to Real Madrid. Did any of you guys see this?
I saw highlights.
Yeah, unbelievable. The first half, Man City absorbed all the pressure. Joe Hart was doing wonderfully in goal, and they went in front. Real Madrid hit back, and then Kolarov's that free kick managed to somehow just go through everyone. Get around Iker Casillas, and then two late goals to Karim Benzema, and of course Ronaldo. Oh, unbelievable! So they'll be smarting after that, and they'll be wanting to have a good account of themselves against an Arsenal side who also managed, or they managed to actually win in their first Champions League game, and also have had a really strong start to the season. Of course, their last Premier League game, knocking off Southampton 6-1. Now, Manchester City are no Southampton, but I don't think Arsenal will be getting the win here, though. I think it might just end in a draw. What do we think, James?
A bit boring for me, but like the last game, I think it could be a draw. A fairly high-scoring draw, maybe 2-2, I think. Yeah. But both these sides have a bit of firepower, and I expect it to be a very close game.
Going to toe the party line and go draw as well.
Surely someone, Tomo, he's usually good for a tip. Are you tipping anyone to win here?
I will pick Man City. There you go.
Amazing. Ruben?
Well, I think Man City are a bit too up and down at the moment. And yeah, they'll be a bit gutted about the Real game. And Arsenal showed us that they can put some balls in the back of the net. So I reckon they got this 2-1.
No. Anyway, we digress. Tomo, Valerie Adams got her medal.
Yeah, Valerie Adams, a New Zealand shot putter who was robbed and was of the gold medal in London because of Nadia Ozdjiepucz. I think that's how the Belarusian pronunciation is. Or as you guys might see her, she looks like Jake Harper from Two and a Half Men. She was caught, of course, she tested positive for a banned substance at the Olympics. Therefore, New Zealand's own Valerie Adams was awarded the gold medal, and that ceremony happened this evening as we're recording this on Wednesday the 19th in Auckland, and there was around 2,500 people at the ceremony, which is actually quite a lot of people. And she had her old school choir there sing for her. She had other Olympic medalists such as Mahi Drysdale, Hamish Bond and Eric Murray, New Zealand rowers there on hand with her, and it's a special moment for her. And I guess, you know, part of me was thinking that maybe it was a bit overkill, you know, having this massive ceremony for her, but then, you know, thinking about it in context, you know, this drug cheat takes away her Olympic moment to stand on the podium, to hear the flag, to see the flag raised and to hear your national anthem. So, you know, it's, and she's deserving of it. She's the dominant shot putter, if you guys didn't know, in the world. So it's nice to see her rewarded for it, and a proud moment for her.
You would be heartbroken. Well, she was. You could see it. She's in tears when, you know, when she got silver. A lot of athletes in the Olympics were crying with joy when they got silver. But she was so disappointed in herself that she couldn't get that gold medal. So I think it's quite rightly a decent ceremony for her in Auckland. And yeah, you're quite right. Literally half of New Zealand was there.
That's it. And I did hear reports that actually the what's her face and the one that won the that was stripped of the gold medal, her coach was actually lacing her food essentially with the drug in the lead up to the Olympics.
Yeah, no, it's true. This is what we've heard. We don't know how true this is though. The apparently the coach was lacing her drinks with the substance. So apparently she didn't know. But yeah. I mean, when you're an athlete at that level, you are watching everything that you take in, you know, that you eat and drink. Well, I don't know about shot putters. Maybe it's different for them. But so he's been banned for 4 years, and she's only got the 1 year ban. But yeah, you would think that, you know, at an athlete who, you know, is competing on the world stage, that you would be monitoring all your stuff. But then again, you know, you trust your coach to make the right judgments for you.
That's it. Anyway, congratulations to Valerie Adams. Well done on getting her gold medal. Let's move on to this award-winning segment.
Yes, put on your thinking caps. It's time for another edition of the Think Tank. Now, I've got this idea this week. It happened, I'll give you a bit of background. I am currently at university doing postgraduate studies, and one of the things I'm doing for it is to got to hand out a survey, excuse me, which hopefully all the Who's Playing Who staff will be able to do that I haven't actually asked them to do yet, but I'm sure they will. And one of the ways to get the survey out is by putting it on Facebook. And usually there used to be a button on Facebook which you could highlight posts. And, you know, it would be seen by, you know, supposedly it'd be seen by more people. Are you guys familiar with this?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, so I went to do that the other day. And so I posted up the link to this survey and all that, went to promote it. And all of a sudden it comes up with pay to promote. And so it wants to charge me $5 New Zealand to promote a Facebook status. And I'm thinking, wow. Oh, who's desperate enough to pay $5 to get their status promoted in order to get a couple of more likes? You know what I mean? So yep. It got me thinking. It's like, you know, I'm thinking of things that I would be ashamed of buying. And I because there's no doubt if I paid to promote a Facebook status, there is no way that I would tell anybody. Like, at no point is that a good idea. At no point will anyone be like, yo, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad, because otherwise I wouldn't have seen it. I wouldn't be able to like it. So I want to ask you guys, have you guys ever had anything that you would be ashamed of buying, or you brought something that you're ashamed of? Because the only other thing I can think about would probably be like a prostitute. And I think that I would be more embarrassed by the Facebook status promotion paying for that.
Well, I'll just jump in quickly there. And the promote your post thing, they've introduced that feature to compete with such things as the trading post and whatnot. Essentially, the idea was if you're selling something or you want to get a message out, that you can do so and pay for the privilege to get it to more of your friends. And essentially, it's a nice little way for them to keep the money rolling in. You know, the investor confidence is way down, Tomo. And the share prices, they're going through the floor, so they need to, you know, they've only got a couple of billion just floating around, so tough times at Facebook.
What a problem, eh?
I know, but
I
don't
still, know. I mean, the main thing they use you'd use the Facebook status for would be to promote your status.
Yeah,
you know?
I know, that's, yeah, it's not like,
it just seems,
went out to the, I don't know, somewhere, was a great time, had an ice cream. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got
go for it. I don't have anything, so.
I got an answer to your question, Tomo.
Yeah.
you'll probably know what these are. Adrian, you might remember them from when you're in New Zealand. I'm not sure if you have them in Australia, but I'll throw the name out there. Toppers?
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's a microwavable food, all right? And it's basically, it's like a pocket of fat that you microwave, and this fat and oil comes in slightly different flavors, and it's meant to have meat in it. It's a real cop-out meal, but it just tastes amazing. You know, it's like It's like a meat ice cream without the ice cream. I'm ashamed to buy it because it's, you know, it makes you look like you don't know what good food is and you can't cook, but the taste is good.
That's a good answer. Matt, what about you?
Not off the top of my head that I can think of that I have bought. Yeah, it's a tough one, really. The stuff I would be ashamed to buy. I'd purchase a lot of food-wise. There's probably not much. I have many a fatty substance which I've purchased without shame.
You're a Manly fan, right?
No, that's James.
Oh, James. Oh.
I would be ashamed to buy Manly merchandise.
Yeah, that was my joke, but yeah.
You could have just moved that to James anyway.
What about James? James, you got anything?
Not myself that I can think of, but I know at work a few weeks ago, some of the boys came in laughing one morning, suspecting that one of the other guys had. I didn't know you could do this, but apparently you can buy Twitter followers. And and apparently one of the boys had come in and he jumped about 8,000 Twitter followers overnight. And the guys thought that was a bit suspicious, so they were getting stuck into him saying that he'd had actually paid money for Twitter followers. So along a similar line to the Facebook promotion, I don't think I'd be telling anyone if I did that, but that's something I didn't know you could do until a few weeks ago.
Is it expensive?
I haven't got a clue. Haven't looked into it at all.
Yeah.
We're too busy making fun of the guy it was who all of a sudden went from 2,000 to 10,000 followers. So.
Yeah, you make fun of him, but you're quietly like, oh, maybe, you know, something to look into.
Yeah, maybe I should sort that out when I'm flying on 53 followers at the moment, so. If anyone listening, at James_MCB, please, give me a hand.
Yeah, we may as well go around. Tomo, you're what, Tomo?
I think I'm Tomo_Yee. I was just thinking, like, maybe it could be something to invest in for the old Who's Playing Who Twitter thing, and then, you know, we can run it off as a business expense. I'm just saying.
That's probably a fair call. We're battling away there. I think, Matt, your Twitter handle's...
At Trods 2906, I'm sitting on a handy 197. So
look out!
Wow, that's impressive.
And you can find me at ADR MCM.
To be fair, I don't know who half of them are, so I won't claim that they're fans.
I doubt Ricky Gervais knows half of his Twitter followers as well, though.
Mm. I dare say.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it, Tomo.
Yeah, that's about it. It seems like that none of you guys have ever been ashamed of buying anything that you own or would be ashamed of buying anything in the future. So, you know, that's good. Good for the segment. All right, and that is the Think Tank.
That went beautifully. Excellent. All right, it's time to wrap things up on the show now. And we've just been shamelessly promoting our Twitter handles. You can find Who's Playing Who on Facebook, facebook.com/Who's Playing Who. You can tweet us at Who's Playing Who. You can email us whosplayingwho@gmail.com or find us on our website, whosplayingwho.net, and comment away on any of the articles you see there. You can also subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Just search for Who's Playing Who on the iTunes store and get it downloaded into your iTunes each and every week. Fellas, it's been a fantastic show, and we'll say goodbye to Ruben first. Congratulations on your another appearance on the show. Great opinions. It's always good to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks, Adrian. I'm really enjoying this. It's a good vibe here in this podcast, and I'll definitely be downloading this one.
That's good to hear. You and two others. And you're voted for MVP as well. Sorry, just before you go.
I'm going to go Tomo this time.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he deserves it. He deserves it.
Beautiful. One vote for Tomo. And we'll say goodbye to the very man himself, Tomo Yee. Another fantastic episode. Even though the think tank fell a bit flat, that was more our fault than anything else.
Yeah. No, thank you for having me again this week, Adrian. It's been nice to hear all your lovely voices again, and it's always a fun time doing this. I will admit, you know, the think tank wasn't as strong this week, you know, working off the rust. But it'll be back better than ever, hopefully, you know, in the near future.
That's it. Next week, the grand final episode. It'll be primed and ready. Your vote?
I will give it to James because he's always prepared for AFL.
That's as good a reason as any. And beautiful segue again. Say goodbye to James McBrien. This is his last appearance for this series, but he'll be back hopefully for the summer series. You're off to Europe, and we're sending you to QPR and Tottenham Hotspur. We've blown the budget, but you know that's what we do for you here on the show. So congratulations, congratulations again. What am I congratulating everyone for? Good show, James. And, well done.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having me on again, and thanks for spending your whole operating budget on sending me over there to Europe for a month. I'm looking forward to it. Might have to phone in from long range, bit of stuff for the AFL for the grand final next week. But hopefully we've got a Sydney Hawthorn grand final, and I'll be over there in a London pub cheering away at 4:30 in the morning. So can't wait for it.
4:30 a.m. sounds like the best time to watch AFL.
It's the only time to watch AFL.
And your vote for MVP?
My vote for MVP would be, I think I'm going to give it to Matt. Purely the restraint he's shown. I know he's watching the cricket as we speak, and he's managed to not yell out and cheer as Australia's been demolishing the powerhouse, which is Ireland. My vote goes to Matt for amazing self-discipline he's shown.
Very good. And again, another wonderful segue. Matt, we say goodbye to you. Thank you very much for your efforts and your vote for MVP.
Thanks, Adrian. Once again, it's great to be on the show. I will thank James for that vote because it has been hard, particularly when Brad Hogg gets a wicket with a flipper. I will go with Ruben just because we're sharing the votes around this week. So I think I'll leave Adrian with the deciding vote. And Ruben, for his the rant on the NRL was quite good. He went to a lot of depth, and I agree with him on pretty much all the points that he brought up.
All righty, casting vote. I'll go with Matt because I did enjoy. He managed to get through a lot of content in a quick space of time. So congratulations, Matt, MVP for episode 56.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
I'm standing at the moment and thanking you all.
He's raised the bat to the crowd triumphantly. Beautiful work. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week for our grand final episode. You won't want to miss it. And remember, for the weekend ahead, all that matters is who's playing who. And go the Rabbitohs. Just chuck that in there.
Love a bit of impartiality there.
That's right. We can take it out in post-production.
Yep. Edit that out.